The Trump administration is now barring all travel by Congress on government aircraft during the shutdown unless there is White House approval. That's according to a memo today. The White House already blocked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from using a military plane for a trip to Afghanistan after she suggested postponing the State of the Union address. We are now on day 28 of the government shutdown, and joining us now is Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois. Welcome back.
It's good to be on. Thank you.
And what do you think is the way out of this shutdown at this point?
Well, I think that the Senate really holds the key. Just a couple of days ago, I saw quite a few of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle working together to perhaps sign a letter to the president asking for an end to the shutdown. And if we can get 20 to 25 of them to sign the letter, that'll signal enough votes for an override and enough votes to call for a reopening of government. And hopefully that'll allow Leader McConnell to allow us to vote on the House bill that would reopen government that Speaker Pelosi sent over.
You think that the Republican senators would do an override over President Trump's veto and actually reopen the government even against his wishes?
Oh, I would never speculate that. But I think if we could get, 20 to 25 Republicans to sign on to a letter asking for an opening of government, that I think that will carry a lot of weight.
What about the issue that's at the center of this? President Trump wants a wall along the border. He's been talking about it for a long time. And people have pointed out that in 2006, then-Senator Chuck Schumer and a number of other Democrats actually voted for the Secure Fence Act, which authorized a fence along 700 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. Do you think that Democrats would be willing to support, as some of them have in the past, any additional fencing of any kind to get us out of this shutdown?
Well, we already have. I already have. In fact, I've already voted at least once to provide him with $1.3 billion in enhanced border security, which includes fencing. It includes more drones, more technology, and most importantly, more Border Patrol agent, and it includes more fencing. He already has that money, which, by the way, he has not yet spent. And so my question is, why are we holding the entire American people hostage, and especially federal workers, over a fight for something that he already has money to spend on that he hasn't spent?
I want to turn to the bombing in Syria that killed four Americans this week. You served in Iraq in 2004. You lost both legs and partial use of your right arm when your helicopter was attacked by insurgents. What was your personal reaction as a combat veteran when you heard about the attack in Syria?
Well, first and foremost, my heart went out to the family members of our four heroes who laid down their life protecting us and that allowing each one of us to go to bed tonight and for me to kiss my daughters, to good night each night, safely knowing that our young men and women are over there defending us. Bottom line, I was appalled. I really think that part of the brazenness of this attack results in the fact that ISIS is still very much active in Syria, despite what the president says, and his unilateral decision against his military commanders and his then Secretary of Defense to decide to draw pool U.S. troops without any type of a plan out of Syria contributed to ISIS, increased boldness.
How long do you think U.S. troops should stay in Syria?
Well, I think that we need to stay until we have a plan for how we defeat ISIS and suppress them. Right now, I don't know that there's a timeline. I think what needs to be done is we need to look at a conditions-based exit. I never supported putting U.S. troops there in the first place without an authorized use of military force vote in the Senate. And that's something that needs to be done. But now that they are there, we can't just pull out and abandon our allies who are in the region, especially the Kurds, who are going to be the target of attack, not just from the Syrian government, but also from Turkey as well. So whatever we do, we need to have an actual plan, whether it is milestone-based, timeline-based, or something, a combination thereof, so that we leave in a way that does not put our allies at greater risk, does not put U.S. troops at greater risk, and does not allow ISIS to regain a foothold in the region.
It does seem, though, like the U.S. experience since 9/11 is that once we have troops in a place, let's say Afghanistan, and then start to pull them out, or Iraq, and start to pull them out, the attacks start up again. Even if it looked like the terrorist group had been defeated, then they are able to regroup, and then it makes it very difficult for the U.S. to pull out.
Well, that's true. And one of the things that we do need to do is we do need to get into place a real system of local governance that would deny ISIS the ability to grow in the region. And that's happening in some parts of Syria where, with U.S. support, local government has come in that's denying ISIS the ability to regain its foothold. But, you know, they've just moved into other areas, and where the attack happened just 2 days ago is where ISIS has never been completely defeated. And we need to focus on putting some resources behind that region, whether with U.S. troops or with our allies.
Senator Duckworth, I finally want to ask you about something closer to home. Here in your home state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, just took over as governor, and he gave an address when he did. One of the things he said is that he wants to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Illinois. What do you think about that? And do you think that as a U.S. senator from Illinois, that marijuana should be legal recreationally at the federal level?
Well, I think that the federal government should certainly look to the leadership of states. I think this is definitely a states' rights issue. One of the things that we can do at the federal level, however, is we can look at our banking laws so that states and banks and the financial system is not penalized because of federal laws for decisions made at the state level. So that's something that I can certainly help to work on. Whether or not recreational marijuana should be legalized is something that the people of Illinois should be able to vote on. You know, I personally support legalization of medical marijuana. I've seen its effectiveness on everything from epilepsy to post-traumatic stress disorder and the like. I would like to really, you know, let the people of Illinois cast that vote. My job is to make sure that once that vote is cast, if it is legalized, that banks in Illinois, that the citizens of Illinois are not penalized by federal laws for something mm-hmm. that is now legal within their state.
But you don't have an opinion on whether it should be legal recreationally in the state of Illinois?
No, I want to wait and see what happens there. Right now, my focus is on making sure that we don't put citizens and businesses in Illinois in jeopardy with federal laws. I certainly support, as I said, medicinal use of marijuana. And I support, for example, allowing veterans to access medical marijuana even through federal facilities like the VA. As far as recreational use, if there is a way to do it so that we are not increasing the use of illegal narcotics, you know, as a gateway drug, then that is something that I'm certainly willing to consider. But I think that whatever we do, we need to move forward with caution and in a coordinated effort so that if the people of Illinois do support recreational marijuana, then we need to make sure that, again, that the federal laws are not going to put them into a gotcha situation.
That is Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois. Senator, thanks once again for joining us.
It's good to be on. Thank you.